Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, and a big old autumnal welcome back to Irregular Bitches, the podcast that really is irregular. I'm so sorry we've been MIA, but a combination of school holidays, work, and moving house has conspired to make it really bloody hard to sit down and have a powwow. But the kids are back at school, the weather has finally turned shit, and we are back, baby.
We're back in the house.
I'm Sarah Kaywood, former ballerina, broadcaster, and loose women panellist. You'll know why I did that in a bit. And my co-host is Louise Mitchell, ex-marketing badass, and not so much a former loose women panellist as just a former loose woman.
Hell to the yeah.
I'm jesting, obviously. Before we go any further, we have an irregular bitches news flash. All right, drum roll, please. What happened to you about a month ago, Louise?
Well, after 11 and a half years together, we have now moved to Norfolk, Duncan and I, and he has asked me to marry him, and I have said yes.
Ah, I love it. Show us your ring. Have you got it on?
Oh, yeah, always.
So you've got to
I
put
love
that
it so
on.
Much.
You've got to send me a picture of that so I can put it on the feed.
Well, I've taken
so
my nails off.
What did you say it was? That it's a. It looks. I thought it was an emerald. People, it's like for
it's
those.
It's not. It's green and oval. It's called a Zavorite garnet. It's
oh,
a
it's
really
beautiful.
Pale green.
And it's like Lady Di's style. So the Zavorite
sort of. It's
is
oval
in the middle.
And then diamonds all the way around. Love
Absolutely
it.
Absolutely stunning. And when's the big
Thank
day?
You. 14th of June. So next year, up on the coast. Yeah,
I've already
wait.
Booked my hotel. I mean, I've already booked my hotel.
She's a good girl. She's my mate.
Yeah, no. Because, well, I don't want to miss because I'm usually shit with things like that, you know. And it is like, you know, I do tend to leave things half done. So
no, you
I
were straight
down,
in there. You were very good.
And I booked it, and it's done. So, and how did the move go? How is the building work going? How are all the things in your new location? How is it? Because that was a big move.
Yeah, it's amazing. Absolutely love it. Everything and more that I wanted. I've been to the beach. Well, the weather's been beautiful, but I've been to the beach four times, I think, this week. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to let it getting cooler stop me. I shall still be down on the beach. So I intend to be leathery within the next few years.
Are you going to go cold swimming?
Yes, I'm going to carry on for as long as I can. Apparently into November is fairly standard. I have to drive. It takes about 35 minutes to get to a nice beach. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to drive for 35 minutes to be in the water for 2 minutes to then drive back again. But if I can have a swim and be in and, you know, move about for a bit, then I will do that. But at the moment, it's warm. It's beautiful.
You know that to be like one of those cold water twats, you're going to have to get a dry robe.
Oh, I can't spend that kind of money. They're a fortune.
I
got a £10 one off Amazon.
Well, I was going to say, I know Lidl occasionally do them because I've seen them in the middle
£10
of Lidl.
Off it.
Do you need, to, like, so is it good, the like shit ones? No, actually, I'm going to reframe that. Are they good, the dupes? There we go, the dupes.
It's not going to keep me warm when it's freezing cold outside. I will have to do something, but for the time
there
being,
are,
I'll stick
I think
with my
there are. There are dry robes that aren't dry robes that are still really good, but aren't like they're not tenner off Amazon.
I'll let
they're
you
like
know.
100 quid as opposed to 160. Is that how much dry robes are?
Yes, they are.
Oh my God.
They are.
I was going to get Andy one because he likes the old cold swimming, but it's
I'll let you know because I won't be spending that kind of money.
No, it's a lot. and so I'm so pleased. It is, I can't tell you what joy I get from seeing this move just work out. And just
thank
be
you, my love.
Everything
you're very good
you
like that.
It to be, it's just
thank
lovely.
You.
And the building work. Thank. Will you say thank you to the builders because I know that they paused for an hour so we can do this.
Yes, and, currently got builders being quiet outside this door. Well, I'm in the spare room. Yeah, no good. Bathroom will be finished by the end of the week, and then we move to kitchen in November.
You better be taking before pictures.
I will, don't worry.
No, because I forget. So I'm having this den is being decorated that I'm sitting in. The upstairs room is being on Monday, Gary's coming. He's so good at decorating that we now can't decorate things ourselves. So I save up my money and I give him the money because he's so much better than I am.
It's worth it. It's one of those finished things that's worth it.
And I must take a before photo because that is manna for me from heaven, is scrolling and seeing a tap for after. I'm like, oh, here I go.
So yeah, I'm in. Will do.
Especially when it's a whole carousel's worth.
Oh, yes.
Right. So shall we get on to today's guest then, Lou?
Oh, yes, please.
Our guest today is a fantastic broadcaster who really jump-started the conversation around menopause when no one else wanted to touch it. And for that, we are all eternally grateful. Also a former Loose Women panellist, which is where we met originally, I think. This girl really is on fire. It's Andrea McLean. Hi, love.
Hello. Thank you so much. What a great intro.
Lou, Andrea Lou.
Hello.
Nice to meet you.
She's bloody lovely. Now, Andrea, did we meet on Loose Women or was that a different? Because I did it years ago with Kerry Katona and I think Kay was on it.
I actually think we met through the noughties and 90s, through our various other careers. But I think we kind of passed each other rather than like properly getting to know each other or anything like that. But I remember you during that time because it was quite a specific time, wasn't it? It was a whole different culture. Uh-huh. You know, I was like the GMTV weather girl. You were doing, I think you might be doing the girly show.
Yeah.
Or something like that around
about
then.
Showbiz, where we've got influencers and everything now, showbiz was really small. So you all saw each other about three times a week at the same do's. You'd all be invited to the same do's. I mean, it was very niche. It was very cliquey, but I loved it.
Yeah.
These were my people.
Yeah, and I think once you found your little group, actually, you could have so much fun. Mm-hmm. And I'm really happy that I had my time at that time. You know, clearly I'm still having my time now, it's just different. But what I mean is I was in my 20s, I was out having fun, doing the normal things that kids do when they go out and have fun. But there were no mobile phones, there was no social media, everyone was just... do you know what I love?
Evidence.
Do you know what I love? Is actually any photographs of that time, everyone looks sweaty, disheveled, you know, kind of holding a rum and coke
real.
In your hand. Real.
Yeah.
No, we did not care how we looked.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you wanted to look nice when you went out, but you kind of took it on board that it's all going to fall apart, you know, after 2 hours. And that was all great. And I'm really relieved that actually that was when I had my time, you know, getting piggyback rides down the street with mates hailing a cab at 3 a.m. In the middle of London, that sort of thing. And there was, and nobody cared.
Dancing to Oasis.
Watching.
I remember, just one of my biggest memories is I was at a club actually with some friends. It was at Silver at the Underworld in Camden. And I just remember.
Yes, I used to go there. Oh my God.
And I was dancing to Cigarettes and Alcohol with a can of beer in one hand and a fag in the other. And I think that's kind of peak 90s. Lou liked dance music, Andrea.
Okay.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I was big into the rave
scene. Big box,
scene.
Little box.
Yeah.
All of that.
Dancing in cages. and also, Andrea and I did the moonwalk together.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Wonderful.
And I think that's why I properly...
When was that?
We did because
lovely.
Walking buddies, as you know, a walking buddy is... You know,
it just helps.
You just
so much.
Get to know each other so well because all you're doing is chatting and walking, chatting. And I was just saying to Lou before we started recording, Andrea, that you were my safe place on that moonwalk because I was so intimidated by Catelyn and Sally Hughes and all those amazing women. I was like, oh my God. And I just, you know, and Catelyn's just like, she just opens her mouth and words I don't understand come out. She's so bright, and not that you're not, but
I hear you
just friendly, and I knew you from before, and I was like, I'm just gonna stick to her like glue. And we did a few miles together. It was lush.
You're right, yeah. That was the moment actually when we properly got to know each other and chatted was wandering the streets of London in the wee hours, but in very different circumstances.
Absolutely.
There we go.
In your bras, obviously.
In your bras. Well,
All right. Now then, firstly, before we go on, are you okay, Andrea? Because you've had long COVID, haven't you?
Yeah, been really poorly, actually. Oh. And but I'm all good now, which is great. And it has been, it's been a shocker. I won't lie. It's been a shocker. It's, I was properly poorly for about 4 months. I was poorly for about a year, but I kept kind of pushing through because I've, you know, I've had moments of illnesses before. I've had struggles before, but this was really different. And so for me, you know, I had, it was chronic fatigue. It was fibromyalgia. It was, I can't even, every joint hurting. Oh. It was painful. But obviously I'm trying to run this Girls on Fire and I'm trying to show up for my lovely community. I had masterclasses to host and do. I was running workshops and this sort of thing. I was doing so much of it from in bed, which is everything you would tell people not to do. Mm-hmm. I'm like writing in bed, and I'd get up, put some makeup on, and thank God you could only have to be seen now from here up doing this kind of thing. And I'd be like smiling away for an hour and go, bye everyone, switch off and go, oh my God.
But that's horrible, limp back to bed. Having to fake it, do you know what I mean? And I have to say that is one of the things about the freelance world that all three of us can appreciate, and anyone's, it's just you have to power through. You can't just, you know, take to your bed and say, that's it, I'm done. But there are obviously other perks to it.
Where's my sick pay? Yeah.
Well, I've never had anything like that. I've always been freelance my whole career, but apart from 2 years right at the beginning where I was staff, where I worked as a features journalist, that's my only time that I've ever been staff. The rest of the time I've been freelance. So but really it got to a point in about, I think, February this year where we were running out of everything. I couldn't do other work to kind of bring money in to work on the business. I was really struggling working on the business, and in the end I had to just accept I'm gonna have to stop this. So, you know, this Girls on Fire
to get better
as it was, actually it was an app, it was all of that, that's gone now, but that I'm all right with that because this Girls on Fire to me still goes on. I'm putting together the next series of the podcast, I'm doing the midlife conversations in on YouTube. It's just taken a different form, but I couldn't carry it on in the same way. That broke my heart. There was a lot of tears when I decided, right, I need to do this. But actually I came to my senses because I thought, I'm trying to push through and keep working through being ill. But if I keep going like this, I will become so broken that I can't work anyway. And I'm not serving anybody if I do that. So we just sort of, Nick and I just sort of looked at each other, and it was me. I went, that's it. We're stopping. So we had to let obviously the community know, give everyone, serve everyone notice. I had to let the team know. So that was like 6 weeks of hell where I just felt so bad and awful in terms of guilt and everything else. And then all I've done for the past 4 months is focus on my health. I mean, I was so bad. I couldn't even walk around the block. Oh, I would get to the end of the road and I'd have to say to Nick, I'm going to have to stop and go back. I need to just go back to bed, which is just not me at all.
Frustrating. For like, you're such a go-getter.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything more frustrating.
Well, I was just wondering what it must have felt like to feel like, when is this going to end? Yeah. Is this going to end? Because I can imagine I would feel quite scared.
Yes. There was a lot of fear because obviously I booked myself in to go and get tests and all this sort of thing. So I have something that's called vasculitis, which is it's a disease of your blood vessels. So your blood the blood vessels to your arteries can get clogged and it damages your major organs. So I was diagnosed with this a few years ago. All my organs were tested, everything was fine. Great, crack on. But I was very aware that a lot of the feelings that I was having, I felt like my whole body was inflamed, and it's such a, how do you describe that? It's such an internalized feeling, but I felt like I could feel like my blood wasn't pumping as it should. So my big fear was, I already have this thing. Could, obviously long COVID affects your immune system. This is something that stems from obviously your immune system attacking itself and this kind of thing. So I went for, I had to go for a load of tests. I've now developed real pains in my joints. And so I was being tested for like rheumatoid arthritis, again, linked to vasculitis and all this kind of thing. Lupus, all of that. And what came back was, it takes so long to get all these things done, was there's a few markers that you may have had some things, but you're fine now. Crack on. So well, now what do I do with this information?
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, my job is now to crack on. So I will take that literally. And so what I did was I set myself a goal of not pushing too hard. And I don't know if either of you will understand this, but and if you're the same, when I start feeling better, I tend to go at things, right, I'm right, I'm well now, boom, yeah. A million yeah. miles an hour.
Full steam
and
ahead.
I'm like, I could do this, I could do this, I could do this. And next thing I've done it again. I've filled my days with everything. So I set myself this goal where I'm really weak and feeble. And, you know, I've done SAS Who Dares Wins. I've done the moonwalk. I've trained.
Right.
I'm a really strong person. Do you know Yoga by Adrienne on
yes.
YouTube?
Yes, Katie Hill raves about it. And I've done a few of them. She's magical.
So I'm kind of in love with her. Mm-hmm. I think she's just the most beautiful soul. And so I set myself a target that I would do one of her 30-day things on YouTube. And for 30 days, I was only allowed to do 10 minutes. Even if I felt good, and even if I thought, oh, I think I could do more than this. Nope, you're not allowed. Mm-hmm. And this is all self-imposed. You know, no one else is keeping an eye on, just me. So I did 30 days of that. And I thought, I actually feel okay. So then I started doing this other guy called Travis Elliott yoga. Mm-hmm. Totally in love with him as well. He's amazing. Same thing, 30 days. But now I'm going to do 20 minutes. Same thing. If I feel strong, do not push yourself. Mm. It's like Braveheart. Hold. and what I did was I did exactly the right thing. Layer upon layer of getting stronger and stronger. And then month three, okay, I think I can start introducing maybe a few really light weights into this, maybe do a little bit of training. Do not push yourself. Only do that little tiny amount. Mm-hmm. So it's yoga and weights. And this is in my bedroom. There's nothing flash about it or anything like that. And then in the meantime, I just really started looking at what I was eating. I started looking into the cell regeneration and reactivation that happens in your microbiome and your gut. I started intermittent fasting, so I'd allow plenty of time for my gut to absorb the food that's, because I I'm a grab it, eat it on the go, mm-hmm. eat it at the desk. You know, again, I'm brought up in a culture where you sit at your desk and you crack on, and if you're busy, you eat at work, just don't stop. I was like, no, I'm going to do this properly. And I'm now in September. This started in probably March. I feel like me again. It's the nicest
fabulous.
Feeling. I feel like me again.
You
and
healed
I'm going
yourself.
To the gym again.
You healed yourself. Isn't it funny how when these things come around, you do just like heal, don't you, Lou? I've done the same with the post-breast cancer. Like what I do now, I mean, I still need to work on the food, but I try not to eat processed food. If I have something naughty, I try to make sure it's good naughty, not processed naughty, because I just think there's so much inflammation around all of that.
Irregular.
Bitches.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I've done yoga for probably 30 years now. So it's just something that I do. I don't even think about it. And I had a 10-year period where I went on a retreat every year, and I never talked about it because I've never been very kind of rock and roll about yoga. I've put a few pictures out, me doing a I don't know, whatever.
Downward dog.
But
that's a classic.
Yeah, or something like that. But I've never been a kind of, hey, look at me, I do yoga. I do yoga and I meditate. I've done it forever. Mm. It's just part of what
life.
I do. Mm-hmm. So there's something so resetting about it. And so I've got this tattoo. Let me see. I don't know if I can bend my arm around that way. I might have done yoga, but I'm not, you know.
Oh, that's lovely.
There we go.
Is that a lotus flower?
It's a lotus flower. There we are.
Oh. Beautiful.
And the reason I've got that is because I got it done actually last year. And I have other little tattoos as well, but I wanted to get this done because for me, a lotus flower represents rebirth. And to me, every day is a chance where you can just start again. Mm. Yesterday could have been diabolically shit, but actually today you wake up and go, right, I'm going to start again. So this kind of reminds me, and it's a bit of the yoga. I've got that Sanskrit. It means soham, cleansing breath. I've had that for years.
I love it.
You know, it's always been a bit of me, it's how I am.
I have to say to anybody listening that, you know, if there's one thing that you can do for your mental and physical health, it's 10 minutes of yoga a day, just because it's you time. Yeah. Don't you think? Lou, do you ever do it?
Well, Sarah, I quite often discuss my wanting to do yoga on the podcast and I haven't managed it. But I kind of feeling in my gut, which is when things tend to happen for me, when it hits my gut, that I'm listening to Andrea and I'm going to do 10 minutes of yoga and I'm going to hold myself accountable and stop looking for other people to hold me accountable.
I've got to hold myself accountable. And do yoga by Adrienne. You just find her on YouTube. It's free. It's amazing. Yeah. She's really
so
good.
Lovely. I want her to be my friend.
That's what Katie Hill says. Elliot.
Oh, I love
Katie
like
Hill
that.
Said exactly the same like thing. It's so bizarre. She obviously just has this, like, you know, aura, which is amazing. Now, can I just, moving on slightly, I want you to tell us about, because This Girl Is On Fire is how many years old now, the book?
Ooh.
Is it 4 or 5?
So,
you left Loose Women in 2020.
Know, 4? The book came out before. Mm. So This Girl's on Fire, I actually started it 5 and a bit years ago. It started as an online blog. Mm. And just and that came out about after the menopause book that I wrote. And then I realized actually I want to help women in a 360 way, not just, you know, menopause is just one thing. That's like, you know, it's just one part of you. So I wanted to help that way. So This Girl's on Fire, the book came out, I can't even remember now. It might be 2018, 19.
But it was well before.
No, it came out in COVID. It came out in 2020.
Oh, it was 2020,
because I finished writing it in COVID. That's right. Because I remember now, the whole house was filled with children, as in teenagers. Ugh. Everyone was studying because we were in lockdown. Mm. And I was finishing the book. I had no privacy. So the only way I could finish it was I dragged the laundry basket into our bedroom. And I sat on, we've got an ottoman in the bedroom. And I sat leaning against the laundry basket with my laptop on it. It was the only time I could get any peace. And that was where I finished my This Girl's on Fire book.
So many people will be relating to this right now. So I hid in the laundry cupboard.
Basically, you know, everyone thinks it's like Barbara Cartland. You sort of sit on a chaise longue and, you know, dictate it to a lovely PA. No, I was, and I had to buy this $4.99 sign from Amazon that said do not disturb and give everyone strict
Love
instructions.
It.
When I'm in flow and I'm writing, please don't knock on the door because it really disturbs
me. Especially when you're menopausal and the fucking sentence leaves you, but like halfway through a sentence, you'll go, somebody will knock. I leave jobs half done around the house all the time. It drives Andy spotty. I'm like, don't interrupt me when I'm doing a fucking job. Otherwise, I'll forget that I'm doing it and I won't go back and finish it. It's that
exactly.
But
well, do you know what? I bought one that was grey. And then in the end, Nick kept ignoring it. So I bought a red one. And I was like, when the red one is out, that's like double red lines on the road. It's an instant fine. It will be towed away.
Yeah.
Do not disturb me when the red one is out.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
Just don't. There will be limbs broken.
But didn't your publishers say, Andrea, that they, because obviously the conversation about menopause has been thrown wide open. And I really want, credit where it's due, you and Meg Matthews, I think, were the real forerunners of that. Mm-hmm. And like, nobody's, you know, and it's, of course, there's room for everybody at the table. But I think you need credit where it's due, because tell us what your publisher said when you took the idea to them, or agent or whoever it was.
So I, just to do a little bit of a rewind, so I went into full surgical menopause, which is slightly different from a normal menopause, as in it's really intense, mm-hmm. and quite quick, because after years of endometriosis and cysts on my ovaries and all kinds of juicy yummy stuff, I had to have a full hysterectomy, and I had to announce it on the assuming. I really only realised it on the morning.
Can't imagine
Well, I didn't want to tell everyone because I thought it's really private. And then, and it was Linda Robson said to me, "You need to say something, or else people will think you've been fired because you're going to be off work for 6 weeks." And that genuinely had never crossed my mind, because obviously I'd cleared it with work that I was going to be off. So I had to make this really kind of stumbling announcement that, "Oh, I'm going to be off work for 6 weeks because I'm having a hysterectomy tomorrow, but it's all good, you know, and I'll see you then. Bye bye." And I was like, "Oh, that's so embarrassing." And then within 24 hours, 10,000 women had got in touch. It was like a tsunami, because this woman had said on live television, she's having a hysterectomy tomorrow. And people were asking me about what I was going to do about the menopause. So I started trying to DM everybody back and ask them. I realized it was like climbing a mountain of sand. It's like, I can't do this. So I thought, I'm a writer. I'm a trained journalist. I write for a living as well as broadcast for a living. I'm gonna put all the answers together in a book. So I contacted my doctor, who I was really fortunate enough. I got her through the NHS. She was randomly, she was a menopause expert that I was referred to because my coil got stuck and my GP couldn't get it out. So that was when I first came across my
ouchie.
Yeah, came across the lovely Dr. Tina Pierce, who by coincidence ended it. She was a menopause expert. And so I contacted her and said, "Would you write the medical side of this with me? I really want to write a book, a first person account with the medicalized account." She was like, "Brilliant, all on board." So I put a synopsis together and started, you know, writing it. Went to my agent at the time and said, "I think this is a really important book that needs to be put out there. There's clearly a need, because there's so much misinformation out there. Let's just make it really simple." And he said, "You cannot write a book about the menopause. No one will want to be associated with you. No one wants to talk about the menopause. Let it go." And I thought,
therein lies the problem.
And I also thought, well, one, you're a man, so you're not really understanding this. So I said, "Fine, you're not a literary agent. Find me a literary, I don't have any contacts in this kind of world. Find me a literary agent that you, or do you know of any that maybe I can work with, and we'll piece something together." So he did. And my literary agent at the time, the woman I worked with, what are called Carly Cook, she was phenomenal, and she really got behind it, and she approached publishers on my behalf. The publishers were really open to the idea, because no one had really in the public eye was, I say no one. No, people had talked about it before. Of course they have. I suppose my pitch was slightly different. So then, the book came out, and that was interesting in itself. But this is fascinating. So obviously, I'd done a lot of research myself. There was first person account with the doctor. I've started This Girl's on Fire as well. It's getting traction from 80 countries around the world. I'm doing it. I'm getting amazing journalists on board to put brilliant articles out. We're helping women, midlife women generally. This is back in 2018. So I put together a program idea, a documentary idea, and approached ITV and said, "Look, there's clearly a need for this, and women, they're desperate for information that is trustworthy and down to earth and everything else. I'd really like to put a program together about this." The answer was, no one wants to talk about the menopause. No one wants to hear a middle-aged woman banging on about the menopause. I kid you not, I took it to every channel. No one was interested. I was too
That's
early.
Interesting.
But do you know what? I kind of thought, Okay.
I'm so annoyed. I'm so annoyed.
I was all right about it because I thought, do you know what? I gave it a go. It's fine. I'm running my community now in terms of I've got this online thing that mm-hmm. I'm doing. I'm all good. And people ask me, you know, how do I feel about the fact that it's everywhere now? I think it's brilliant.
Yeah.
I don't mind that it didn't happen in my time. As long as it's happening.
Yeah.
I don't care. It's all good.
Can I just ask, Andrea, what was it like, though, having a huge operation and all the physical and mental health ramifications of that, doing what you did on Loose Women, which was your job, and then having that response? Because then not only are you dealing with what you're going through medically, you're dealing with this mountain. That's what struck me.
It gave me something else to think about. And actually, it was quite helpful because... I've always been this way, actually. When there's challenging times, I actually find release in working on helping other people. It's quite a common thing, really. I think, you know, I've been through some bumps in the road in various different ways, whether it's, you know, relationships or what have you. And every single time when I focused outwards, it's just been a massive help. So for me, putting all my energy into, you know, and it's also a bit selfish because any research I'm doing into something that is to do with anyone in midlife, well, who's benefiting me? So it's quite a selfish endeavor, you know.
We've learned loads.
Exactly. So, you know, it's I'm not like some kind of, you know, I'm not like just some lovely do-gooder. There's a selfish motive there. I'm really curious about this, but how can I put it out there? So right now I know this. Everyone needs to know this. It's like that.
It's just like, I mean, it's wonderful that you've done it. And I'm so grateful. I was doing some early morning walks and listening to my Audible. And you're on my Audible because I'm working my way through all of the menopause books one by one. Because everybody brings something different to the table. But what you just said about... focusing out is so important. And again, that is a proper piece of good advice because I honestly think that overthinking and going inwards is so bad for your mental health. Overthinking and like just self-obsessing, really. And I just think, yes, if you can take it out, simplistically, just talk to other people in your network and then, you know, beyond that, do what you've done and start a community. That's what we're trying to do here as well, is just sort of demystify it, say vaginal atrophy without anybody going and just, you know, get the word out there. And also the other thing is I've been hopefully asked by ACAS to do some bits with them for Menopause Awareness Month next month, Lou and I, and the girl that I've been liaising with is terrified about menopause because she's younger, and I think it's lovely that we're talking about it, but we don't want to scare the younger generation by saying that it's awful. It's like a fucking train wreck coming towards you, because it's not. Aren't there some amazing things about being in midlife? Like absolutely not giving a fuck about what anyone else thinks for a start anymore.
Yeah,
it's just revelation. Yeah. That's Lou's favorite thing. How many fucks have you got left, darling?
Zero.
But podcast listeners, that's a big fat zero.
Zero.
Irregular bitches.
Oh gosh, you might tell me rumbling. So sorry about that.
Have you had breakfast? We can't hear it, by the way. That's what it is. Are you doing is it the 16:08?
Yeah.
Right, there you go. Yeah, so you've probably got about an hour and 20 minutes, haven't you, before you can eat?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
She knows.
Exactly. but that was exactly why I wanted to go down the route that I did, which is, you know, through This Girl's on Fire and what have you, which is because, you know, even the whole title was so tongue-in-cheek because it was this whole idea that, you know, oh my God, I'm totally burning up right now. But actually, I'm on fire. I'm still a foxy hot mama. I'm not
hell
dead.
To the
I'm,
yes.
I'm, you know, I'm halfway through, not halfway done, and all of these kind of things. But it doesn't mean that I also get really irritated by this kind of everything is awesome, you know, Wonder Woman out there just conquering it all. No, actually, some days are really quite shit and not great, and that's all okay. And some days are amazing, and that's all okay. For me, it's about talking with women, not at them, about this whole kind of experience. Menopause is just one thing. It's just part of it. Absolutely, it's brilliant that there's loads of information out there. Absolutely, it's vital, I think, that it is taught in schools so that girls understand that there is, just as when you go through, you start puberty, this is your start of your hormonal journey, and then you will go through all these different processes if you have children, not when, but if you have children. And then if you are fortunate enough to live to middle age, which, by the way, nobody knows when the middle is, because you don't know when the end is. And this is a bit that makes me laugh.
So true.
Do you know, you think, oh, middle age. People think middle age is about 60. We'd have to live till 120. And that clearly isn't going to happen. So it can be in your late 30s. I actually started experiencing my menopausal symptoms in my late 30s. And I had it can occasionally happen when you get a rush of hormones just as you're in your, you know, in your late perimenopause. I got pregnant unexpectedly at 38, but actually as I was in perimenopause. So, but I'd kind of expected it because my mum went through an early menopause. So by the time I was 42, I was right in it. So by the time I had my surgical menopause, I was already starting HRT. I was already informed about this kind of thing. Mm. So if we can let girls, young women know, yeah, it's bumpy, but there are just like periods can be bumpy, just like living with endometriosis or cysts or fibroids or whatever, all the things that make part of our female gynecological makeup. Those are bumpy, but there are things that we can do. So it's all right. Don't stress. It's fine.
And it's okay to talk about it. And it's language that we should be used to. And you talk about periods to anyone who will listen and not have them.
I watched
recoil.
Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, with Autumn. Just the two of us. She's 9. Oh. She watched it again a few days later. She completely fell in love with it. I was like, that's exactly what I did when I read the book. I felt that one.
So did I.
Oh, it's wonderful. Anyway, sorry, Andrew, you were going to say something.
But can I? Yeah, if I could just jump in. And whilst I think, yes, it's really important for everyone to talk about it, the world to talk about it, it's also totally okay if you never want to bring it up. Mm-hmm. I think the pendulum has swung pretty wildly the other way now, that it's almost like if you're not beating a drum and shouting through a megaphone, then you're not supporting. That's absolutely not the case. People go through their experiences in their own unique way, and you want to, if you want to stay totally silent about it, absolutely beautifully, you're right to do so. But I do think what is really important is that men are educated, because just as actually you're doing no good if it just becomes this female thing that women are wanging on about yet another thing that they're going through, and it can actually ostracize and distance yourself from you know, basically half of the global community. We are, you know, I suppose if you want to be truly broad-minded and global about it, of course there are other entities, but you know what I mean. And I think that if men, whether that's dads, brothers, uncles, co-workers, whatever, also are taught about it in schools, so there is a basic understanding,
absolutely,
and understand that this is just something that, oh right, okay, you're feeling like that. So Nick, my husband, he coaches most people, but it's mainly men. One of his The first things that he ends up talking about with men, because most of them are in midlife, is, you know, my wife's this, she's lost her mind, she's doing like this, she's doing me head in. The first thing he says to them is, she's going through the menopause and you need to cut her some slack and you need to educate yourself. Because actually, if you were going through what she was going through, you'd be more than doing your head in. So wind your neck in and go and get yourself educated. I mean, clearly he doesn't say it like that. But clearly he says it a bit more blokey way than that. But that's kind of the message, which is you're approaching this from a level of total misunderstanding, which is understandable because you don't know any better. Mm. But know better so you can do better. And actually you'll find your relationship with your wife will really improve just by that. And it works. It does. It works.
Irregular bitches.
I wanted to ask Andrea, because I just have one. How did you, are you on HRT or how have you eventually mastered your hot flushes? I have discovered sage tincture, not the tablets. They didn't work. But the tincture, the drops that you put in water seem to be a bit more effective, and that's really helped. But I know that you really struggled with them.
So I do take HRT. Mm-hmm. Mine is transdermal, which means you rub it on your skin. Yeah. So it's a gel one. I get on really well with that. I find that that works really well for me. So, and I use that. I use every now and again, but not very often. I have a little pump of testosterone as well. Mm-hmm. I have to be really careful about that because I can end up a little bit hairy, which nobody wants.
Get hairs on your chest, babe.
So I'm like, oh no. No, but main problem is that sometimes I get a bit spotty. So with... I take a tiny little bit of that. I take progesterone tablet at night. I think one of the biggest mistakes women make is taking it in the day. You have to take it at night.
I didn't know that.
And then I also...
Why is that?
Yeah. It can make you feel a bit weird. And also it can help you sleep. So,
Lou obviously knew that as well. I didn't know that. I used to take mine in the morning.
Yeah, take it when you just after you brush your teeth.
I'm not allowed to take them anymore, Andrea, because you know I had hormone fake cancer. But it's fine. I'm more or less on top of everything now. I mean, it's hot today anyway. I don't do very well in the heat. But this girl is also on fire.
On fire, inside and out. But I also take, and again, referring back to, you know, you're saying people need to talk about things like vaginal atrophy. We need to really normalize this as a part of experiencing the menopause, because vagina. So I take a pessary as well.
Yes, I'm allowed those as well, and I have one of those. I have my Vagifem, which is great.
Yeah, that's what I take. And I think the more that we're really open about that side of things, and I did touch on this in my book, and I talked about sex in the book, and even with and my experience of it post hysterectomy and with the menopause. And as I was putting it in, I was like, and actually literally and figuratively, I was thinking, do I talk about this? And I thought, yes, because actually it's all very well to talk about things in a kind of cartoony way and then it's not sort of real or abstract. Actually, we need to talk about how important this is, because one of the main reasons, you know, men moan that women don't want to have sex when they're in midlife, it's not just because they've gone off you, it's because it hurts. And no one wants to do anything if it hurts. So it's again, the more women know that there's no shame in going to your doctor and asking for something that actually can help that, mm-hmm. whether it is pessaries, whether go to Meg Matthews' website. It's incredible. There's so much great stuff on there. And get lubricants or whatever.
Yeah, which our friend Sam.
You need.
Yeah, the good lubricants. Yeah. So go to Joe Divine.
Yes.
We had Sam Evans on this podcast talking about how it's got to be the right lube because some of them can be irritants. Yes. But yeah, we had a whole episode on sex. And it's just to talk about it. Yeah, like you said, just to normalize it. And you know, Andy also, you know, Andy doesn't want to have sex with me when he can see me trying not to grimace. You know, that's no fun for either partner. So, but there are things you can do.
Yeah. And I also take supplements as well.
Yeah.
So I think that's really important. The fact that obviously you take your supplements. I've taken supplements for years. Mm. I mean, there's so many out there that which is brilliant now that there are so many out there. And I don't necessarily want to, you know, name the ones that I take, but I do. I take a mixture. I take tablets. I take sachets to top things up naturally as well, because I do recommend them to friends too who have experienced breast cancer, especially hormone triggered breast cancer, because some of the supplements, if you contact the manufacturer, and that's why I don't want to say which ones I take because obviously it depends.
Yeah.
If you contact the manufacturer, there are some that you can take that actually are all right with hormone triggered breast cancer, and the relief that they bring, because obviously helping with hot flushes, with brain fog, with mental clarity, with energy, all of these things. So if you have a look online and approach them in the contact us on their websites and ask them, is this suitable for
and breast cancer now are a great resource for that as well, so you can ring them, they know which ones you can take as well. So yeah, thank you very much, my love, that's really lovely. Lou, do you take any supplements?
Well, I'm going through a phase of not, and it's I don't know what's wrong. It's since I moved house, this is my excuse, I've moved house and I just haven't been looking after myself. I haven't got my eating right, I haven't got my supplements right, and I haven't got working out. So I need to reset.
September.
September.
Yeah.
September feels good for a reset, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I need to get the builders out of the house and then I'm on it.
Now September's like my new term. I love September.
Yes.
It's amazing. I always celebrate New Year in September, never in January. January's shocking. Why would you want to do it then?
I know. It's way more New Year. Like, it's new term, isn't it? That feeling of your new pencil case never leaves you.
100%.
Yeah. New protractor, new tin with all your math stuff in, new smelly rubbers, new squashy pencil case. Hello Kitty. Oh my god, I want to go back to 1986 so bad.
Irregular bitches.
Now, Andrea, obviously you've left Loose Women in 2020. I can't believe what, like, literally front page news, because you've just been there forever and a day. But now you have an empire. So what are you doing post Loose Women?
When I left, it was so funny. When I decided to leave, it was the middle of the pandemic. I think I didn't realize I was part of the Great Resignation or whatever it was called.
Really?
But I think there's so many people globally were going through the same sort of experience where you think this incredible thing is happening where it feels really scary and we don't know how long this is going to last for. We don't know where the end is. And I think it gave so many of us this kind of feeling of you only get one life. You need to take a long, hard look at it. Are you doing what you really want? And I know so many, particularly women, decided to pivot career at this point. So I was just one of many. So for me, I realized, no, I really wanted to go all in on This Girl Is On Fire and helping women feel great about themselves. That's literally my only, you know, raison d'etre. It's for me, everything you do starts with how you think about it. So I wanted to help women just think differently and feel good. So when I decided to leave and go all in, I didn't know it'd be front page news. I had no, you know, I
it
just thought
huge,
I'd kind of
was
disappear.
It was really. It was like, Andrea to leave Loose Women, shocker.
I know.
It's like, what's happened?
Hang on a minute. Stop the world. I want to get off.
I mean, it was kind of overwhelming, to be honest, you know. And anyone who works in the media, but also other jobs where it's kind of similar. Sometimes, if you hand your notice in, you can get told to leave that day. Mm. And media is one of those jobs. So when I decided I wanted to leave, I went in knowing I was going to send the email to my bosses that day. But I didn't know if they would say, okay, well, you're going now, so
bye.
Don't come back, because I chose a time. My contract was up for renewal. Again, everyone thinks I worked for ITV for 23 years. I did not have a 23 year long contract. You know, at some points my contract was only 3 months long. It just
they're
happened.
They're like zero hours contracts, aren't they, in telly? Basically,
yeah. It's not what people think at all. So for me, my contract was up for renewal, and I thought now is a good time. It feels right. So I wrote out in my notes section on my phone my resignation letter, and I went in, and I did what I thought could be my last day. Because I didn't tell a soul, but mentally I was saying goodbye to everybody. I was saying goodbye to the runner bringing coffee. I was like mentally going, you're so great, and I hope you go on and do great things. Everyone in the makeup room. And then even when I said that, like, you know, and that's it for us, you know, goodbye, I was doing a Paddington stare down the camera to everyone at home, like, goodbye. This could be my last show. You don't know it. Like this. And then I went in, sort of That's packed amazing. My bag, went in the car. I was like, ooh, because I was driving myself in and out. And I got my notes copied and pasted into an email and sent it to the head of daytime and my editor. And then just switched on the engine and drove home. And I was like, oh my God, I have no idea what's going to happen.
Feeling
now.
In your stomach. You must have been. I mean, just shitting it.
I love
think it's
it.
Wonderful,
it
but oh,
bonkers.
It's giving me shivers.
Mm.
And then what was lovely
Large
was
in charge.
I then got a phone call from the head of daytime going, firstly, are you okay? Mm. You know, is the reason you're leaving, are you okay? I was like, no, I'm all good. I'm in my 50s now. I've been doing this for a quarter of a century, you know, because I had done other little telly jobs before working at ITV. So it was nearly 25 years. I'm ready to change, but thank you so much. No, I'm all good. And she went, how do you want to play this? And I said, however you want. I'm still under contract, so I'll work my month's notice or however you want. They were amazing. And they let me have, they let me make an announcement and they let me have a really brilliant send off. When I made the announcement on telly, I had no clue that I'd end up crying. I was so embarrassed. But it was that thing of, I'm suddenly saying it out loud and the whole world is watching me. And what if I'm making a huge mistake? And what if I make an absolute ass of myself? And what if none of this works? And what if I make a total fool of myself? All of these fears kind of came up. And then I thought, and I think I said it, you know, none of it was scripted. And I think I said, you know, there's that poem, "What if I fall? But oh, my darling, what if you fly?" And it was that feeling. It was like, yeah, I might fall and land flat on my face, but I might fly. I just need to know. And it was that. Yeah. And that was the only thing that was sort of driving me on. So as it is, you know, it's 3 years on now. It'll be 3 years in December. A whole lot of things has happened. Clearly, I did not know I would end up getting so ill and I would have to just shut everything down. But do I feel like I failed? No, that bit isn't, that's not going anymore.
Failed.
I'm
You've
just
pivoted.
Doing it in a whole different, I pivoted and I just did it in a whole different way. Mm. And I'm now looking into, I'm actually about to embark on a whole new adventure, but I haven't even told my family yet. So I only found out yesterday that this thing is actually happening. So I can't tell you about it right now.
Oh my God, but, so watch this.
Give us a small clue.
I really can't.
Can
I
will, you not? Would it be too obvious?
No,
oh.
It will be too obvious. But I literally only found out yesterday and I'm super excited. It's not telly.
Wonderful.
But I'm excited.
Wonderful.
And do you know what it means? And I am quite woo-woo with this. It means everything happened for a reason at exactly the right time.
Oh,
because
the universe.
Now I'm...
yeah.
Yes.
The universe has your back, babe.
Perfect.
I'm a bit woo
it
like
really
that
does.
As well.
It really does.
I nearly
Me
got
too.
Run over the other day, literally on a zebra crossing.
Oh.
Seriously.
You sound so cheerful about
I
that.
I felt so lucky because I didn't have my headphones in or anything. This is where I looked up after it happened and I went, thank you for having my back. Because I was halfway across a zebra crossing and some guy either on his phone, whatever, 40 miles an hour. All I heard was a man screech and swerve. And then when I looked down, the car was about half a foot away from me and almost on the pavement.
Sarah?
Yeah, it was. I mean, there were loads of witnesses. I could have been killed or have life-changing injuries. It was. So, but the fact he
did
missed
he say
me,
anything?
I went, this is what I did. I went, I'll turn away from the mic. What the fuck do you think you're doing, you fucking idiot?
Good. Good,
that's
I'm glad.
I screamed
right.
at him.
Thank you for turning, thank you for turning away
like,
from the microphone.
I'm sorry. And I was like, no, fucking hell, you didn't kill me. It was bad. But
please tell me you broke off a branch and hit his car like Basil Fawlty.
Yes. Style-y.
Unfortunately,
oh, yes.
In the middle of you know, a suburb of Southend, there were no branches or trees nearby. I was just on my way to buy.
I wish somebody had been recording
spring
it.
Spring onions.
Do you think someone might have recorded it? That would be brilliant.
Honestly,
I'd love
anyway,
to see that.
The universe had my back
Cable
there.
Blues
so
is that
don't,
shit.
The woo is real. The
yeah.
woo is
the
real.
The woo is real.
And
it is real.
Can't wait to hear all about it, Angela. It's amazing.
Okay.
Absolutely
okay.
amazing. And so this girl is on fire. Is there anything happening with that, or is that all rested now until your new project?
So in terms of the, you know, the masterclasses, the courses and all that sort of thing, what I've done is I've taken them all out of the app so people can still purchase them. I've just put them on my website. So they are all still there and still available for everyone.
They're amazing, actually. So, I just had a look. There is literally a masterclass for every single thing, isn't there? It's like a whole page of, you know, that needs to be a manual.
Yeah, well, and I'm toying with it. So there's little clips of them on YouTube as well, just to give people tasters. So I think what I'm going to do in terms of This Girl's on Fire is I'm going to branch out a bit more so that it's not so hidden away, because I did some amazing work for the past few years, sort of behind closed doors, working with my community. So it was hundreds of women that I was working with and group coaching and this sort of thing. But now I actually feel like I've built my confidence up a little bit more. So I'm sort of ready to broaden it out. So we're looking into maybe series three of the podcast, the This Girl's on Fire podcast. For the first year and a half, I only put it out to my community. I didn't even, it wasn't even public. So I've decided, right, I'm going to put everything out now in the public domain. I do my midlife conversations, which I put out on YouTube, and it's also within a Facebook group so women can chat about their stuff that sort of way. And now I'm also really enjoying, I'm collaborating with businesses and individuals, and I'm helping them with their media training. Now, media training was something that never even crossed my mind, which makes me laugh out loud now when I think about it, because it's like, I have a quarter of a century of experience working on television, and do I have anything to offer when it comes to helping people? Oh my gosh. It wasn't until someone approached me and went, you're used to putting courses together and this sort of thing. Would you work together on me on this? And actually, I was like, how could I be such a numpty and not realize that I can do this? And I love it. It's so much fun teaching people about this and just seeing their little light bulb moments. And also, I had someone in the community that I'm working with right now, helping with their training. This woman, I felt as proud of her as if she was a primary school student. She got approached to do an interview with a broadsheet. And I had the week before done this masterclass on this kind of thing. And she said, normally I'd have been too scared, but I thought, I have the tools now. I can do this. And she said, I was a double page spread and a broadsheet. Amazing. I'm so excited talking about my thing. And she said, I remembered everything. I remembered, like, from the moment you meet them, you are on. Never make a joke because you don't know if they're going to take it. Mm-hmm. You know, think about your body language. Think about all this kind of thing. And I love it. I feel so proud of them. So I know technically that's not This Girl's on Fire, but it still kind of is. I'm just helping women feel good about themselves and project themselves and go out there. So
that's ideal.
It
I think, you know,
still going.
That is, and it's there's actually a little bit of a gap in the market really for that from somebody of your caliber. And any CEOs that are listening need to get in touch with Angie because she's got your back.
And also, I do it in a really friendly way. I think people think friendly. It's going to be exactly, and I think people think it's going to be like, no, don't say that. No, sit up straight. What would you do if that happened? It's not like that at all. I want to put a little key in your back and wind you up and have you go off feeling great. That's how I do it.
I can't imagine that you'd ever be horrible. You're lush. Isn't she lush? Hey, Lou?
I don't know.
We are going to let you go now. Thank you so much for joining us. You're absolutely fab, Andrea. I could talk to you all day.
You're so nice. A nice way to start my day, just getting loads of compliments. This is great.
And you are an irregular bitch, and we always mean that with love. It's wonderful. You're definitely one of us. That's
one of the biggest compliments I've ever had. Oh, yeah. I'm a regular bitch. I love that.
That's all for this week. But our thanks, as ever, go to our wonderful guest, Andrea McLean, my hubby, for his epic edit and production skills. And to you lot for listening and supporting. We would love it if you could give us a favourable review and share and subscribe. All the things, please. And thank you to my Lulu. And until next time, she always gets the last word. Andrea, this is a bit of you, this is. What's our last word, Lou?
Stay cool, bitches.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.